If and we are not going away, Peter might, but we're still on the battlefield. But if it all came to an end today, I would say that one of the pleasures for me has been getting to know and work alongside William Ross. He celebrates quite a significant birthday in the not too near future. Sometimes they say, you know, you don't really appreciate what you have until you don't have it. He mightn't be able to do this very many more times. So, folks, would you put your hands together and welcome to the podium Mr. William Ross.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a funny thing. Whenever I first started to go to political meetings and I looked up at the platform, I've seen a lot of old politicians. Something's happened. They've all got far, far younger. And I was thinking too, a moment ago, of a night long ago. And I was in London, and I got a phone call from my wife and said, that UDR fellow that was shot in the fountain was Bobby Stott. There's memorials in the paper this week. He was 20 years of age. To me, it's not long years ago, friends. It's yesterday. And that's the way it is for those of us who lived through those times. It is ever present. Our friends and colleagues and neighbours, we've never forgotten. But to a more pleasant task this morning. It is a pleasant task indeed to welcome you all here to this annual conference of the Traditional Unionist Voice, the only political party in Northern Ireland which has the integrity to tell the truth about the dysfunctional shambles that exist at Stormont. Well, you know, shambles is actually the old name for the slaughter yard. And we're seeing Ulster slaughtered every day up there. But the members of this party, those who voted for us, knew a very simple fact. They knew when to say it's just plain wrong. And I say thank you to all those who have kept faith with the party and who have kept their integrity. Thank all of you who are gathered here today, to all who went out and worked for what we believe in, to our councillors who keep on setting out our clear message in council chambers across this province. You're doing a good job, friends. Keep it up. Amen. Do that when you reach my years, you'll be able to say, I look in the mirror this morning and I saw someone who kept his word or her word. Yeah. Yeah. If you're not able to do that at my age, then you'll be in moral misery if you're honest with yourself. Thank God that we have people like you, who are prepared to go against the flood of humbug, of hypocrisy that pours out daily from those who surrender their principles, who surrender their moral rectitude or office, and quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, for largely powerless office at that. Above all, how glad we are, how fortunate we in this party are, and not only in this party, but for Ulster Unionists and Ulster Unionsmen in general, to have Jim Allister to speak for true unionism, despite the sneers and the jeers of those who know the truth but don't have the courage to follow his lead. Yeah, yeah. My find it rather sad, you know, to listen to those former members of the Ulster Unionist Party, former colleagues of mine, who now sit as senior members of the DUP and attack us. They left the Unionist Party because of its betrayal of the principles we and they then espoused. Principles which we still espouse, only to be let down in their turn by the DUP betraying those same principles. Make no mistake about this. They betrayed their conscience. They betrayed their principles. They betrayed everything that they said they stood for. Whenever I was thinking of these things, I remembered the story of the Medes and the Persians taking over Babylon. You all remember the story. The interlopers came in. In that night was Belshazzar, emperor slain. The interlopers took over. Why is it that now when I think of these things, trembling on the tip of my tongue is the name Peter? What are these new people going to do? Are they going to continue in the path they embarked when they changed parties? Or are they going to join us? Because, friends, if they're true to their conscience, they'd be here. Here, 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 here. So far over the last year, I've seen political posturing, contortions, of which any circus would be proud and would laugh at in the circus. But you know something, folks? Politics, unfortunately, is not an entertainment. It's a deadly serious business, and I've always treated it as such. It determines how well you live, and in our case, in which country we live. We know the defence of what we believe in is a continuing battle. It never stops. And it will not be won by those who indulge in armchair criticism. And it won't be done by armchair pundits who are not knocking doors come the beginning of May. Irish republicanism of all shades, living as they do in their own make-believe world, have always peddled a constitutional and political message that the Ulster people rejected. That's why they kept on losing elections. And when their blandishments failed, they always have turned to violence. And friends, they tried to drive us into a united Ireland by violence. A united Ireland where their view of the world would prevail. But they've always failed because they came up against the Unionist people's solid determination to stay British. But however, Republican assaults were not only violent. And because I have been so long in politics, I remember the words that were uttered. Their assaults were a perfect blend of Armalite and ballot paper, a blend of hard cop, soft cop across the whole range of Republican and Nationalist opinion. And it's a sad fact that in the United Kingdom circles, they were so convinced by the soft cop approach that they tried to buy off the violent and seditious by endless concessions. The Anglo-Irish Agreement is a perfect example of a loss of moral courage and craven deceitful surrender to terrorist murder. Now I am sure that like myself, you've all noted the comments of some media to the effect that the late Reverend Ian Paisley and Jim Molyneux were either stupid not to have known what was going on or allowed themselves to be misled. I found it rather strange that none of those pundits have ever thought worthwhile to come and ask me what I thought, because I was there. And I know what happened. Let me say simply and clearly, at that time we in Parliament heard the rumours, but the information that the party leaders were given from on high was that the position was secure. Events proved the truth was very different. What was the brutal truth? It was simply that those men were the victims of lies, pure, downright lies. Not only were they lied to, but our supporter and the Conservative Party were also the victims of the same lies, including, don't forget, Ian Gow, who was like that with Thatcher. The great problem, of course, my friends, with lies is that You can't really prove that you're being lied to until the treachery and betrayal is completed. And the full tale of that sorry, sordid deal has not yet been told. And I have to say to you, my friends, from a political point of view, that in such circumstances, if you cannot believe your own government, who have a primary duty, the maintenance of the Queen's realm in all its fullness, who can you trust? And how can society and government function? At that level, there has to be trust between the parties. The word has to be the bond. That's how Parliament operates. It can't operate if the major parties were lying to each other all the time. Now, everyone in politics knows the objectives of republicanism. It might have been possible to be misled by government lies. But how on earth did Messrs. Trimble, Paisley and Robinson, with the support, sadly, of the majority of their parties, later believe that IRA Sinn Féin would work to make Northern Ireland a success? Those men not only had the evidence of ongoing Republican violence, violent terrorism, there was the history of Irish republicanism and the long-standing dirge that Northern Ireland was a failed political identity. Who in their right minds would ever have thought that McGuinness or Adams wanted to make Northern Ireland a political success? Let me say simply and clearly to you, friends, that the governments in the United Kingdom have behaved badly, very, very badly over the years. And so far as United Kingdom Prime Ministers are concerned, and I saw a fair number of them, the last one in office who gave his word to unionism and kept it on the constitutional issue was Jim Callaghan, the Labour Prime Minister. He kept his word to the UUP at that time, and we kept our word to him, and I want to put that clearly and firmly on the record. None of his successors kept their word on the Constitution. Not one of them. The present dysfunctional, unstable and dangerous setup, the dangers to the unity of this whole nation and the Queen's realm, is the result of their two-faced chicanery. Quite simply, Stormont doesn't work because it can't work. And that has little to do, you know, with those elected to it. It's because the whole concept and structure created by the Belfast Agreement is founded upon a false premise. The latest arguments, the latest agreement, rests on that same foundation. Therefore, those who laud it as a bright new dawn, I have to say to you, friends, sorry, nobody believes you. And what's far more, I don't think you believe it yourselves. Friends, just look at what's actually going on. The whole Republican body politic is constantly trying to erode British identity in Northern Ireland. Let's take one recent little thing in the general scheme of things. The omission of the national anthem at the Remembrance Day event in Stormont is example. Snip a little thread. Once left out, it is gone forever. Can I say to Sammy Morrison, thank you, lad. Some try to say, you know, oh, Sammy ambushed the Republicans. What the devil do you think the Republicans were trying to do to unionism? So, don't forget it. Next year, ladies and gentlemen, they're at it every day. And there's another thing. We have an endless succession of inquiries into the actions of the security forces who are combating the IRA. That's another little element, shall we say. Blacken the security forces, blacken the army, blacken the police, blacken the prison service, and blame them. That's the scheme. They'll be staying at it. So let's look at some of our neighbours. The French security forces and government, they take a rather different approach. Those forces, they assaulted an occupied block of flats. They killed and captured the terrorist gang within. A ferocious barrage of automatic fire with heavy weaponry, heavy rifles were used. 5,000 rounds fired, I'm told. Well, you can soon get through 5,000 rounds with automatic weapons, you know. Will there be complaints about the use of excessive force? Would the French government ever allow inquiries? Not likely. There will not, for the French nation and government will live by the dictum of the late General de Gaulle, that a nation which cannot defend itself is no nation. And I'll put it another way. A nation which will not defend itself is not a nation. Where is the major party in this nation who lives by that standard, and especially in this increasingly dangerous world in which we now live? Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm running over time. And I'll finish with this. I'm proud to be in this party where we are prepared to tell the unionist people the truth, for I believe the truth will eventually make you free. We're here to challenge the Unionist Party, to call on them to awake from their slumber and to fight the battles in the coming year. And thank God that we have a row of people on the frontier who are prepared to stand for office. It's not going to be easy, folks. But thank God you're there. And I say to those unionists who are weary, who are infuriated by the broken promises, who are in dismay, who look at the unionist politicians and say, you're all the same. I tell them, we're not all the same. We're not all the same. But if the unionist people vote for the same folk, you'll get the same outcome. You'll only change the outcome by voting for this party. If you vote for us, you'll get the change you want and you'll get what Ulster needs. Put our people there and they will do their job. Do the job for us. Thank you for standing, and thank God for people like you.